If you turn your scriptures to Psalms 119, I want to talk to you tonight. This is one of those messages, you can call it perhaps pastoral, but it's just a concern for folks knowing the realities of life and living your faith in the realities of life. You just want to share this kind of encouragement. If you'd stand, I'm only going to read one verse in Psalms 119. You can say, thank the Lord, there's 170-something verses. But I'll read just one of those. And by the way, no one's yet taken me up on my my promise, and by this time I would have to refresh it. But I said if anyone would memorize Psalm 119, we'd take him out to dinner. And so that still applies. Maybe some young folks would like to do that. But let me look at just one verse from the psalmist tonight. He says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. And normally in this verse, that's what the focus is. But I want to focus on the latter half. The psalmist also says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me not wander from thy commandments. I want to take just the first part of that last part. Oh, let me not wander. Oh, let me not wander. Amen. You know, as the cry of the psalmist, I think that should be everybody here that knows the Lord, every believer, that ought to be our desire and cry, Lord, don't let me wander. I don't want to wander. And that's going to be the focus of the message tonight. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word. Let me tell you young people something. Don't dismiss a song just because it's old. Let me tell you, really for the believer, there should be one judge of a song, not its age, not its style. The one judge of the song is, does it take my soul upward towards God? That's what I'll be the measure. But, you know, sometimes I'll say, well, I like this old song, and you're thinking, well, it's old because it was new when you were young. No. Most of the songs that we like and sing, they were old a long time before I was born. And I want to share, for an illustration in a moment, I want to share an old song written 200 years before I was born. And it's one of my favorite songs, but I want to share it for a particular reason. And let me just give you briefly some background to this. Robert Robinson, he was raised without a father. He went astray as a young man. I'm just give you a short sketch of his biography. And he ran with the wrong crowd, began drinking and carousing, just a rowdy type of fella. But God began to deal with him. I won't take the time to share how that happened, but he went to a camp meeting to hear George Whitefield preach, but he didn't want to go along, so he encouraged his friends to come. He said, well, go heckle that fella. Well, he went and heckled that fella, and that fella preached on getting away from your sins, and the scripture says, you vipers, depart from iniquity, and he got saved that night. He was only 22 years old when he wrote this hymn that speaks so much to me. And the hymn is, Come Thou Fount. How many knows that hymn, Come Thou Fount, written over 200 years ago? I want to share it for this reason. I'm going to have Brother Dearth play a little bit of the first verse just to give us context in the song. And then he's going to skip to the last verse. And you see the title, Oh, Let Me Not Wander. In that last verse, I want you to listen for that word, wonder. Could we do that? If it doesn't play, I'll have to sing it. So there we go.
Come thou fount of every blessing to my heart.
That gave you some context.
to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. The words that spoke to me, he said, prone to wander. Think about that. Prone to wander. It would be relieving if he were only speaking of his own heart. But what he said is true of every one of us. Our hearts are prone to wander. Prone means inclined. Our hearts are inclined, and wander means to go astray. Every one of our hearts are inclined to go astray. It's easy for every one of us. It's easy for each of us to do this, to wander off the way, the right way. It's even programmed into our very flesh. Let me put it this way. It is the default setting of the fallen human heart to wander away from God, prone to wander. Wander is forever a recognizable sign of getting off track. That's what it is. You've gotten off track. Wandering is always the action of the lost. If you know anything about folks that get lost to the wilderness, what do they end up doing? They end up, if they're truly lost, every time they'll begin to wander in circles. They never go in a set direction towards a destination. How many do believe that there is a right way and a wrong way? And when you get saved, and I get saved, our hearts are set upon the right way. But being on the right way, he's got it right, the hymn writer. We're prone to wander off the right way. Amen. You know, we have this saying that hearts wander, and that's true. I have seen, you have seen, a couple madly in love. I mean, you can just tell. They just sit and just stare at each other in the eye. They're madly in love. And then a little bit later, you hear that there's been a separation and then a divorce. They loved one another, but one or both of their hearts wandered. Amen. How many remembers the day when God, in an act of grace and power, extracted you from a pit of sin? What happened at that moment of born again transformation? He took you out of the pit. He took you off the wrong road, and he set your feet on the right path, on the right way. It happened in a moment. That's a wonderful thing. Think about it for a moment before I move on. That's a wonderful thing. You can be hopelessly lost, a million miles lost. You can be so far from God, and in a moment, he can take you off that wrong path, and the next moment, you're walking the right way. In a moment. But incrementally, you can begin to detour. Incrementally, you can begin to wander from the path that God has set you on. Amen. Folks can be so far from where they used to be. We're not mentioning names. We wouldn't begin to. But how many right now in your minds can think of folks who spiritually are so far from where they used to be? Can you think of that? Amen. Amen. Wandering back to the pit. In Isaiah 53, that famous passage in Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep are gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. Now again, to go astray means to wander, to get off the path. Amen. But I want you to notice something. Usually when we think of this scripture, we think not of Christians, we think of lost folk, don't we? I mean, just be honest. When you think of people that have lost. But notice, for a sheep to go astray, that sheep had to have been in the fold. That sheep had to have been with the shepherd. That sheep had to have been with the other sheep. And to go astray, they had to have been in the right place at one time. And I know this applies to all of us as unbelievers, but I would like for us to take the admonition from it tonight that sheep can go astray. It's not just that the goats are turned into sheep. It's the fact that sheep go astray. You and I, we are prone to wander. We get off track so quickly. Amen. So quickly, there's a distance. Amen. After we have encountered God. I think of revival. I mean, you might have marveled in your own life. You can have a moment in revival. You feel so close to God. You're so set on following Him wholeheartedly. And even just a few days later, you're in a completely different frame of mind, a completely different set of heart. And again, you're struck with how quickly we can wander. I think of youth camp, and our young people are doing great, but it's still a matter of fact. You know, you come out of youth camp, and God's moved in your heart, and you feel the Spirit moving, and I'm going to serve the Lord and conquer the world and be a light. And how quickly, amen, you can be on a completely different path, so far from where you were in the frame of heart and mind at youth camp. And we could go on and on with different illustrations. A person's born again. And I tell you, in so many things, such a minute change of direction can get you so far off track in just a little bit. You realize that it's a matter of geometry. I mean, you could just be a degree off from the path, and that minute change over just a short period of time, and you're so far from that path that you were on. And prone to wonder. It's a disappointment to all of us to see. We've seen it so often. A person gloriously saved from awful sin. They're in the church. They're worshiping God. They're praising God for delivering them from the bondage of sin. But then they wander off. Amen. We've seen somebody so on fire for God. I mean, they're excited. They're enthusiastic. They can't wait to get to church. They want to be involved in everything. And then just a little bit later, they've wandered off. Amen. There's someone who lives all out for God. I mean, they live in purity. They live holy. They live righteously. But pretty soon they wander off and they're living out in sin. And I'll tell you something else. And while we're building this fact here, it's not just people that wander. How many knows that churches can wander off too? Churches can go astray. Why? Because just like the people in it, they're prone to wander. Amen. Oh, but He can bind our hearts to Him. I'm not preaching we have to wander. I'm just saying we're prone to wander. There's another prone too. That's why the psalmist also said, incline my heart to seek You. Incline my heart to love. Amen. He can do that work as well. But the warning is we're prone to wander. We've been having a litany of car trouble with Sandra's car lately. It's mine when I need it, but it's hers when it's having problems. And we've been having problems with Sandra's car lately. And I said, watch this one day. And I took my hands off the wheel, and I said, watch how this car wanders. I mean, as soon as you take your hands off it, it will whoop this way. And it's wandering. It's disaster to wander while you're driving, isn't it? It's disastrous. Amen. And we know, and we read that little phrase in the newspaper of a horrible wreck. And many times we'll read, they wandered left a sinner. They wandered left a sinner. It's disastrous to wander. But what happens? Why is there the wandering? Well, first of all, sometimes it's the driver. Here's some problems the driver can have. I'm talking about your heart set. Did you know the quickest way to wander when you're driving is to take your eye off where you're going? Isn't that right? I heard on the radio this week that some people end up taking their eyes off the road. This is actually a later point, but up to 30 seconds while they text. 30 seconds. I was raised with the two-second rule. You should never take your eyes off 2 seconds, and that's a long time when you're driving. You'll wander in a hurry in 2 seconds. But the quickest way to wander is just to take your eye off where you're going. I want to tell you, the quickest way to wander spiritually is to take your eye off where you're going. Amen. Amen. I don't have a plow, a mule and a plow, but I got a lawnmower. And I got some long stretches of grass to mow. And I've learned one thing. If you mow it the longest stretch, you're not turning as often. Right? But how do you keep it straight? I won't tell you who. We'll leave it anonymously. But I've tried to tell other members of my family to help me mow and how to do it. If not, it, you know how you do it? You get your eyes fixed on the thing on the other side. And if you've got your eye fixed on the thing on the other side and you head right towards it, you won't be wondering. You won't have this when you look back. Right? I want to tell you, you know how not to wander spiritually? Get your eyes set on what's on the other side. Right? How many's got your eyes set on what's on the other side? I've seen people, Sister Dixon, and I'm not saying this because of what I'm about to say. I didn't call your name for that. I just saw you looking at me. But I want to tell you, I've seen folks that have served the Lord 50 and 60 years, and they wandered. Did you know, just go back to mowing. If just for a second, you take your eyes off mowing, you will wander. It'll never stay straight. Right? So sometimes it's the driver. It's the will of the person's heart. I mean, sometimes the driver is weary. I'm going to mention them later, but I hate those rumble strips they put on the white lines. And Missouri, if you're listening, you're the worst. Most people put them a foot off the white line. Missouri puts them right on the white line, over on the other side of the white line. And Sandra will be sleeping on those long trips. And she'll wake up, honey, are you awake? Are you okay? And I'll say, yes, I'm just cleaning the mud out of the treads. Weariness can cause you to wander. That's why so often I address that. You serve the Lord. You're in the battle. You're in the fight. You'll get weary. You got to watch wandering when you're weary. Distraction. We already mentioned tech. Maybe you don't text. Maybe you still use an 8-track or a radio or whatever it is in your car. But I'm telling you, when you get distracted, how many know Satan loves to get folks distracted? You know how quick it is to get distracted? Just one hurt feeling. Just one temptation. And you're distracted. And you begin to wonder off the right way, the God's way. Maybe it's not weariness or keeping your eye on where you're going or distraction. And certainly we don't even want to go to things like intoxication. Christians don't have that. But for sake of illustration, amen, you get the wrong things in your system and you're going to be wandering. And that same is true with believers. You get the wrong things going on in your mind and the wrong things going on in your heart. You're going to wander, right? Amen. And I want to share one more. Sometimes it's just an attacker. And I probably shouldn't share this, but it's been 100 years ago. But in high school, I dated this young lady, and she was a very attractive young lady, and she was very smart. She made straight A's. And I took her out on this date. And back then, by the way, cars always had bench seats. Now, I'm not going with this where you think I'm going, but they always had bench seats. And so here I'm driving down the road, a country road, and before I knew it, she slid over and grabbed the steering wheel and jerked it as hard as she could towards the ditch on the other side. She didn't do it just once that night, and she did it several. I mean, she's something was wrong. I figured that out real quick. But if you've ever been traveling this road, and all of a sudden just been attacked by Satan and feel like he's taking your spiritual steering wheel and just giving it a jerk. Have you been? I'll tell you, you want to do with your heart just like I did that night. Thankfully, I was paying attention. But with everything in me, I just got a grip and held it right between the lines. And I'll tell you, got it right back between the lines and held it there. When Satan attacks you, realize what's happening and refuse to give even an incremental amount. I'm staying on the road. Well, with the car wonder, sometimes it's not the driver. Sometimes it's the car. Amen. Amen. I already mentioned that with Sandra's car. Something was wrong with it, and that's why it wouldn't stay between the lines. Sometimes the tires are out of balance or out of alignment. It's amazing how you'll wonder if you get things out of alignment in your heart or you get things out of balance in your walk with God. I remember warning folks sometimes about, it's good to be excited about this, but you can't neglect this in the Lord. And they just get out of balance about things. I mean, it's wonderful to be interested in Jesus' second coming and prophecy. But if you're only in prophecy all the time, amen, pretty soon you're out of balance. And a car begins to wonder when it's out of balance, something wrong with the tire, something in the tire. Amen. I fixed three or four flat tires just a week or so ago. And I'm telling you, you can tell when that something's in it and it begins to get low, you can tell that something's wrong. It'll begin to wonder. Amen. All these things we could talk about. Sometimes the trouble is with the car. And I'm talking about, I know I've talked about the driver, but if your heart's always wandering, something's wrong with your heart. Something foreign's in it. Something's taken, amen, getting you out of balance and out of alignment. You know, one of the quickest ways you can tell, now some folks aren't going to like this, but it's just the truth. You know, one of the quickest ways you can tell somebody has begun to wander? They start missing church. I mean, it's just that way. Can you say amen? It is. I'm not talking about there's legitimate reasons. You know that. But when folks have a choice to be in the house of God and they choose not to be, it's because there's some wandering going on. Sometimes it's not the driver of the car. Sometimes it's the road. That's what I usually blame. By the way, with the car, how many ever remember driving that old Ford van we had about 20 years ago? I got stopped for drunk driving that. Coming back from youth camp. Cop said, what's going on here? Tried to push the Bible up on the dash. You know, I said, we're coming back from youth camp. Oh, yeah? He said, you were weaving all over the place. And I said, honestly, this time, it was not me. It's this old van. Anybody that drove it, just shake your hand. It was true. That thing would just go everywhere. It's like floating a boat instead of driving a van. But sometimes it's not the driver of the car. Sometimes it's the road. Everything can be right with the car. The driver can be rested, but the road can be bad. Have you ever hit a chuck hole that shot you over to one side? You ever done that? I know we've kind of been chuckling tonight, but I'm telling you, it's no funny matter in life to be going along with serving God with all your heart and trying to please Him. And suddenly there's a huge disaster. There's a huge tragedy. There's a huge problem in your road. It's like a big chuck hole. You hit that thing hard, and you feel yourself headed towards the ditch. Sometimes it's the road that causes us to wander. And just to encourage you, that's what pastors do, encourage you. It won't be long till our roads will be icy and snowy and all that good stuff. Amen. Sometimes there's things on our road in life. Amen. Maybe it's the curves and the hills. Amen. Things that cause us to wander. Amen. Our hearts are prone. I don't want to wander, do you? Do you? Amen. And I begin to think from Scripture of some things that we can have. We can have a wandering heart. A wandering heart. I've already mentioned that in marriage, sometimes there's an unfaithful wife or an unfaithful husband, and they have wandered away from their commitment and their love for one another. Same thing can happen spiritually. You can be saved, but your heart can begin to wander. I mean, it's a whole sermon to preach, and Stephen added it to his sermon that he preached in Acts 7. He's talking about his forefathers, and he said, look, Here it is. To whom our fathers would not obey, but they thrust him from them. Listen, and in their hearts they turned back again unto Egypt. They were headed for Canaan, the promised land. They were headed in the right direction, but their hearts had wandered back to Egypt. Did you know we can do that as believers? We can still be headed the right direction, but our hearts begin to wander back to Egypt. And I know the children of Israel did a lot of wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience and getting off track. But it wasn't the wandering in the wilderness that got to Israel. It was the wandering in their hearts that got to Israel. Amen. It's the one thing, amen, that we got to watch out for, our hearts wandering. Let me give you one scripture. Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above and not on things on earth. If you want to keep your heart from wandering, if I want to keep my heart from wandering, then there takes those calibration moments. There takes those times in prayer that I say to my heart, wait a minute, heart. You're not going to wander to that world. I'm going to set my affection on things above. Hallelujah. How many knows the difference when you have your affection set on things above and not on things of this earth? Not only can we have a wandering heart, we can have a wandering mind. Amen. I begin to, several times, I don't mention names, I had to pay out money that way. But with my children raising them, I kind of quiz them a little bit. What did Daddy preach on tonight? Well, I don't know. Why don't you know? Well, I can't help it. My mind just wanders. I didn't hear an amen. Everybody's mind has wandered. Come back, come back, come back. How many knows it's easy for your mind to wander? How many knows it's easy for your mind to wander? Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Where all has your mind wandered just during this message? Where's your mind been? Isn't it easy for your mind to wander? We're talking seriously. We're talking about spiritually. A mind that wanders where it ought not to be. Amen. In 1 Peter, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then Philippians chapter 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Don't let your mind wander. That's where the battle is. I'm not going to preach that tonight. I just want to say we have a wandering mind, and your spiritual battle starts right here. Keep your mind on Jesus. With my mind staying on Jesus. Remember we used to sing that, keep your mind upon Jesus. Amen. Don't let your mind wander to the world. Wander to questions that have no value in wrestling with them. Wander to grievances. Wander to past hurts. Don't let your mind wander. Keep your mind staying on Jesus. Not only do we have a wandering heart and a wandering mind, but there is a wandering eye. A wandering eye. Jesus warned us. He said, you have heard by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever shall look on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He goes on to say, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. And do the drastic thing. Why? Our eyes wander. And that's not my intent tonight, to talk about the particular temptation that Jesus is talking about that causes lust in the heart. Because people's eyes wander to more things than those of the opposite gender. Their eyes wander, get set on a new car, get set on this new thing, this new technological gadget. And the eyes wander. We've already talked about that. Keeping your eye on where you're going. Oh, I don't want to have a wandering eye. I want want to look full in His wonderful face. I want to turn my eyes upon Jesus and keep them there. Not only a wondering heart, a wondering mind, a wondering eye, a wondering foot, a wondering foot. Amen. Some folks just can't stay on the path. If you mark it in bright red, fluorescent red, if you give them every landmark, they just can't stay on the right path. They can't stay in one place. They've got a wandering foot. They're always wandering off. I'm telling you, if you're going to make it, don't have a wandering foot. Amen. Keep walking where you need to walk. Stick with it. Stay where God has placed you. Amen. It's the sad thing is, we all do stray from time to time. But I'm going to bring this all together with this. Amen. I mean, it is true. I don't care. I'm not saying we all stray to catastrophe or we all stray to completely backslidden state. But I'm going to tell you, since our hearts are prone to wonder, whether it's one of these young people or one of the elder saints, every one of us stray from time to time. It happens. But I'm going to tell you, amen. Amen. If that's what's happening, amen, you're going to get back on track. And I'll tell you why. You're going to get back where you need to be. And I want to tell you why. It's because wondering is something you don't want to do. Wondering is something you strive against. Wondering it goes against your heart's desire. You want to serve God. And if that's in your heart, God's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you back between the lines. He's going to bring you back to the right path. But the alarming thing is, please hear me, I'm about done. Hear me. The alarming thing is when people start to wonder because they want to. It's not just that they're inclined to, they're prone to. They've got off the wrong road through a mistake, but they're wanting to wonder. It's their desire to get away. And here's the scripture, Jeremiah 14. Thus saith the Lord unto this people. Thus have they, here it is, they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. The saddest thing, I know it saddens God's heart and it saddens my heart as a pastor. Some folks, it's not just that they're inclined and prone to wonder. They love to wonder. They begin to desire something else other than to desire the Lord. You can warn them. The Spirit can try to restrain them. The Word through the preaching can speak to them. But it has no effect because they want to wonder. You talk to them about the need of their soul. They'll argue. They debate. They demean the spiritual. They justify the sin because they want to wonder. But I want to tell you, though our hearts are inclined to wonder, if that's not what we want, there's a God of grace and mercy who'll every time get us right back on path that leads to life everlasting. I want to ask you the question tonight. Amen. Go ahead and come, music. Having found the way. How many has found the way? That's what the New Testament calls it, the way. Having found the way, do you really want to wander off of it? Or do you want to continue on it until heaven is your home? Oh, I know the answer. You don't want to wander from it. You know, one of the saddest things you read about, that you read about in the newspaper, is a house catching on fire and somebody making their way out of it to safety. And then remembering something they really want. I mean, I understand that if there's another person there, but I'm talking about something else, something that they treasure, want. They've already made it out of the burning house, but they let their desire for that thing take them back into the burning house, and they perish. That's one of the saddest things spiritually, to see folks that God has brought out of destruction, but they wander right back into it. Oh, can you not say with the psalmist tonight, oh, let me not wander. I mean, he wrote that 3,000 years ago, Brother Bill, but it's applicable to every one of us tonight. We can pray with the psalmist, oh, let me not wander. I don't want to wander. I don't want to wander. I talked just briefly a while ago about those rumble strips on the white lines. They're there for a purpose other than to clean the mud out of my tread. They're there to warn. Have you ever been in a service and God put a rumble strip? Maybe it was through the preaching. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit put a rumble strip just to shake you and say, you're wandering, get back on path? Aren't you thankful for those times? And let me tell you something very sad. This hasn't been substantiated completely by history, but it is the legend. And we didn't listen to enough of the beginning of that hymn, but Robert Robinson wrote this hymn because he was so joyful of having found salvation. Come thou fount. But the legend has it that years later, towards the end of his life, back then 1700s, he's riding a stagecoach. And the woman he doesn't know on the other side of the stagecoach, she's humming a song. And finally, just to strike up conversation, she says to Robert Robinson, she says, do you recognize this song I'm humming? And let me just read his words direct. He said, do I recognize it? He said, madam, I'm the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings that I had then. The legend is Robert Robinson did wander. He wrote the very words, I'm prone to wander. But he did not take the admonition to stay on the path. Amen. One more time, how many would like to say with the psalmist, oh, let me not wander. You always tell if someone begins to wander, because they'll say, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter, that's no big deal. It's all a big deal. Amen. I don't want to wander. Could you stand across the building? Hallelujah. 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 All we like sheep are gone astray, inclined to wander. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you a little thing. This isn't just about making self-disciplined rules for your life. This is a relationship. You want to know why? Because the way isn't just a pathway. The way is not just a geographical path. How many knows what the way is? The way is Jesus. This is a relationship. When you wander from the way, you wander from Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want everyone that would just like to pray tonight. I mean, this is a time for honesty. I'm not going to give a specific altar call. I could do that. I could say if you have felt yourself beginning to wander and tonight you've heard the rumble strips and you hear God speaking to you, and that may have happened. But I just want to give, and I don't know if you could get there, Brother Dearth, can you put the verse, the text back on there? But if you just want to join the psalmist tonight, first of all, recognizing the words of the hymn were so true. Our hearts are prone to wonder. And then would you not join the psalmist tonight and pray to your God? Make a request to him, a petition to him. God, let me not wander. Amen. Would you do it? If you want to come pray that with the psalmist, would you come pray? Don't let me wander. Don't let me do it, Lord. I want to stay on this path. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me not wander. So easy to wander, prone to wander. Pray it with the psalmist. Don't let me wander. wander from thy commandments, from thy ways, from thy words.
I praise thee, Lord.
Oh, bless your name, Lord.